Blog Talk Radio.
I used to go my way all by myself, me, my shadow, and I. Happy go lucky, nobody else but me, my shadow, and I. One day out of the clear blue sky, I dared to look in your eyes. So tenderly, that's how love fell on me. Yes, you did.
I used to laugh at all my friends getting ready for Valentine's Day, giving candy and kisses and friendship rings, sweet for the sweet, they say.
Listen, Kim, it didn't hit me like a ton of bricks, but I felt it just the same.
Marvin's love came creeping right into my heart when you whispered my name.
I couldn't help myself.
good night. Oh, good night. Okay, y'all. Good evening, folks. Welcome to Drive On Connection on Tuesday night. And this is early for us. But tonight we have a very special guest. We have with us Emmy Award-winning producer Beverly Lindsay Johnson. And she is doing a Zoom on Friday the 16th on Marvin Gaye. So it's going to be on the life and times of Marvin Gaye and just his contribution to music. And we want to give honor to Ms. Johnson for her contribution to the music industry, that, you know, she's promoting it and trying to save it, to archive it so that we'll be able to have it in the future, not only for ourselves, but for our children and our children's children. So, Ms. Johnson, Ms. Beverly, welcome to Dry Bones
yes.
Connection.
Hi, am I there with you?
You're here,
here
with me.
With
you?
Okay,
you're here with
okay.
me.
Okay, all right then. Hi, how are you? It's a pleasure
I'm
to
well,
be
well, thank you. How are you?
Here
we're looking
on
forward
your show.
To Friday.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking forward to Friday, and so many people are. You know, I am the executive director of the African American Music Association located in Washington, D.C. And we, in celebration of Marvin Gaye, the organization for, oh gosh, maybe about 30 years has celebrated Marvin Gaye's birthday in April. His birthday is actually April 2nd. And so I think he would have been in, forgive me if my math is not correct, but I think he would have been 82 years old this year. And
yes.
And so Marvin, many people don't know that Marvin is a native Washingtonian, born and raised in Washington, D.C. So our program is called Marvin Gaye from D.C. to Detroit. So, you know, many times as we talk about Marvin Gaye, we kind of forget that, you know, where he came from and how, you know, his beginnings, discovering his talent as a young boy. And so with that, the organization is holding, is sponsoring a virtual panel discussion on Friday, April 16th. From 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and I can give you, you have to register to participate in the panel discussion. Well, it's not, the audience is there with the panelists, and so I can give you the address to register. I can do it later. Would you like for me to do it now, and then we can continue our discussion? And
how
so
about,
people
if, we
can
it,
get
how about
10.
If we do it now, and then we can also do it again later before we close
exactly.
the meeting?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, you must register to be part of the audience of this panel discussion, and we'll talk about the panelists shortly. But
okay.
To register, you must go to www.aama-marvingaye.eventbrite.com. So that's www.aama-marvingaye.eventbrite. That's eventbrite.com. And so you should register now, and when you register, probably by tomorrow, you will receive the link in which at 7 p.m., you just click onto that link, and you are into the panel discussion.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. And so to tell of the panelists will be the one and only Miss Kim Weston. And,
yeah.
You know, Kim Weston was a Motown star herself, and she was one of Marvin Gaye's duet partners. He had about, he had four duet partners during his time at Motown, and Kim Weston was one of them. And then the next panelist is Luvane Demps. And Luvane is a member of an all-female background group, an in-house background group at Motown called the Andantes. And many people, just like people didn't know about the Funk Brothers until the documentary film came out, Standing in the Shadows of Motown, did people really know, you know, find out about the Funk Brothers and the major contribution that they played in the success of Motown. And so the Andantes are one of those that are behind the scenes as well. And so the Andantes, they sang background for nearly every artist that was on Motown. And they sang behind Marvin Gaye's, about 15 of Marvin Gaye's hits. That if you hear female voices behind Marvin, that's the Andantes. Now, you know, in the beginning of Motown, the very, very beginning of Motown, before the Andantes were created, Martha and the Vandellas did background on with Marvin Gaye on a few of his hits. And then after the Andantes were created, then they began to do background on, like I said, nearly every artist that was signed to Motown. And so Luvane Demps of the Andantes is another panelist. The Reverend Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale, who is, she's a historian herself on R&B and jazz music, and she heads an organization called the DC Legendary Musicians. And and she knows a lot about Marvin during his younger days. They went to junior high school and high school together. They sang in the choir together. And so she knows a lot about Marvin during his younger days in D.C., when he was in high school, when he was in junior high school, when he used to sing on the block and sing in the clubs and the rec centers and, you know, all those kind of places as he's, you know, pulling his talent together. To really go into, you know, his next phase. And then there's Raymond Fauntroy. Raymond Fauntroy, he is the brother of the Reverend Walter Fauntroy, civil rights activist, who was with Martin Luther King. And so this is Reverend Fauntroy's brother, Raymond. And he also was a singer as a young man, and they used to do, he was in a group, and Marvin was in a group, and they used to do talent shows around town, and then they became very good friends during Marvin's, you know, growing up and developing his talent in D.C. until he went to Detroit. And then there's a local artist, his name is Frank Sirius, and he's a local D.C. performer, a vocalist who is greatly influenced by Marvin. And so we're going to talk with him about Marvin's influence on Frank's music. And those are our panelists,
Oh, see, that's great. That is truly great because, you know, I mean, you can listen to different recordings that Ms. Kim did with Marvin Gaye. And then, of course, you know, we heard some of the music that Brother Ray has made, you know, on his own. So that's really great. And, you know, and I've heard stories of, you know, Brother Ray when he talked about him and Marvin Gaye and others singing on the corners and stuff like that. So that was really good. I mean, it's just outstanding work that they did, but then to do it with such a legend as Marvin Gaye that, you know, he died in the 80s, and everyone still knows his voice. They still know Marvin Gaye's music.
Exactly. He is a legend. He's an icon. Yes. in American popular music, whether it's R&B, whether you call it R&B, whether you call it soul, even Marvin liked the American Songbook standards. He, you know, he wanted to sing Broadway show tunes, you know.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. He really wanted to be like, you know, the Black Frank Sinatra, you know, with the hat, you know, and the cigarette, you know.
Yeah, but
and,
then when I hear Miss Kim and, you know, Martha Reeves talk about him, you know, they talk about how he was shy. And, you know, Martha Reeves said, you know, how when he came in, you know, he started out on the drums, which I didn't
drums,
know.
Right.
And
yes,
that he was
did.
So shy that he wore a hat and stuff like that, that you couldn't see his eyes and stuff, and he would, you know, would be in the corner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
they like,
discovered
wow, you know, just can't picture him being
his
shy.
Vocal talent. Yeah, but they discovered his vocal talent. And
once yes,
that
I'm so glad
discovered.
They did. I'm so glad they did.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to play a number of his songs from the 1960s. So many
great.
Times when you hear about Marvin, when there's some type of a tribute to Marvin, or they speak about, you know, the songs from the, you know, the What's Happening, I mean, What's Going On album, and
yeah.
then other songs, you know, within the 70s and 80s of Marvin, and we're going to take it back. Because
oh,
since we're going back to D.C., you know, and from the time he was born till, you know, he left for Detroit and the stardom that he had in Detroit. So we're going to, you know, play a lot of the 60s music, you know, Can I Get a Witness? Ain't That Peculiar? You know, How Sweet It Is. You know,
yes.
Those
yeah,
are the
see,
songs
and that's the
that made him, you know,
yes.
the Marvin Gaye that we know.
Right, yes, it most definitely is, because a lot of the newer music, people don't know, but everyone knows his new stuff. There was a song that I came across today, Funky Nation, that he did with Detroit.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
I haven't heard of that. You said it's called Funky Nation?
Yes. Well, let me play it
okay.
for you. Let me
yes,
play it
please.
For you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Marvin Gaye and the Detroit Instrumentals.
Wow, you know, that has that Marvin Gaye's 70s, like latter 70s sound.
I thought that was so pretty. How did you find that? I'll send it to you. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Oh, everything's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, but I'll send it to you. But I thought that was just so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really just beautiful.
Yes,
I really
yes.
like that.
I mean, so relaxing. Everything Marvin does.
Yeah,
does
it's very
is,
soothing.
A fabulous sound. Very fabulous.
Yes, it is.
Sound,
yes. yes, it is. So soothing. I see how a lot of people got in trouble listening to Marvin Gaye.
I hear you. Well, it was good trouble. Hopefully, it was good trouble.
I don't know. I think there was one time when he played Let's Get It On, and then the OJs played Let's Make Love, just Let Me Make Love to You. And a whole lot of people popped up pregnant.
Oh, boy.
He had that kind of voice.
Yeah, he did. He really did have that kind of voice. That was very soothing. It was just very smooth, you know, on your ears. It was very cool. Marvin was cool. I mean, he could have been shy, but he was cool.
Yes. I tell you, Lord, but look, then I just wish I was just older. Like, man, I wish I was older. I know he was that close that he was right in D.C., but I was like, man, I wish I was older.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, when Marvin was a young boy, and, you know, he would play the drums and the piano at church, and then, you know, he sang in the choir. In the junior high school and high school. And one of our panelists, the Reverend Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale, she talks about even though she and he were in the chorus at school, and she said that she was placed like below him, you know, in terms of the stands, you know, he would be standing above her, you know, as they lay out the choir or the chorus. And she said that one day she was going down the hall in school, and she heard this voice, and she said the voice just sounded so good. And when she turned around to see who it was that was singing, you know, it was Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when
she realized,
I mean, this is this early, you know, in junior high school, you know. This is when she, you know, realized that, you know, Marvin had a real vocal talent. And then after he did a little in the military, after he got out of high school, he came back to D.C. and with one of his classmates from Cardoza High School, they formed a group, a vocal group called the Marquise. And that partner of his name was Reese Palmer. And they put together a quartet, and they named it the Marquise. And the Marquise recorded a few songs, and they were primarily local hits. You know, they didn't get very far on the Billboard charts, if they got on the Billboard charts at all. But they, you know, but they were hometown, you know, talent. And and then you know, they performed with Billy Stewart. They performed with Bo Diddley, because Bo Diddley lived in D.C. for a number of years in the 60s. And, you know, Bo Diddley recording for Chess Records out of Chicago, but he became an A&R man for Chess Records. And so he was recruiting a lot of very talented D.C. artists and signed them to Chess Records. And so, but anyhow, the Marquise backed up Billy Stewart on a couple mm-hmm. of his hit tunes. And then they just happened to hook up with Harvey Fuqua of the Moonglows. And mm-hmm. Harvey needed a new set of Moonglows while he was performing at the Howard Theater. And and so the Marquise had a chance to do an audition, you know, like in the mm-hmm. back alley of the Howard Theater, you know. And so they were hired as the new Moonglows, and they did that for about a year. And Marvin had his first opportunity as one of the new Moonglows to do his first lead recording on the song called Mama Lucci. It's called Mama Lucci. And it's
Mama
Marvin's
Lucci.
First Lucci, Mama Lucci. And and you can find it on YouTube.
and that was
Marvin's first solo song, and you hear it. This is Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the voice, you say this is Marvin Gaye. And so, you know, they stayed together. The new Harvey Fuqua and the new Moonglows, they stayed together for about a year or so. And then Harvey Fuqua, he had bigger ideas, and he took Marvin. He and Marvin went to Detroit to meet Berry Gordy, who had a new recording label called Motown. And the rest is history.
Yes.
The rest is history.
And what a wonderful history it was, you know, all the way up until
Absolutely.
The end.
Yes.
All,
yes,
you know,
yes.
It was truly a wonderful, wonderful history. And, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand, that Marvin Gaye, he was very a very caring person. You know, the people that he really cared about,
that.
He really cared about.
And yes, he did. And yes, I've heard about that. I know, I'm not sure exactly, but I believe he funded some civil rights activities, you know, fundraising events. Yeah. I know he did a fundraiser for Reverend Walter Fauntleroy, you know, when he was with Martin Luther King, and they were, you know, they were bringing in, they were organizing the March on Washington, and I understand, you know, Marvin did a fundraiser in D.C. for Reverend Fauntleroy, and then there's another fundraising event that I'm really trying to remember that Marvin did. And then, you know, he took care of his family, bought his family a house in D.C.
Yes.
And, you know, and then he brought them to L.A. When Motown moved to L.A. And so, you know, Marvin was a really, really good guy.
Yeah, that's when I heard that he was really, you know, a very, very good guy, and with a very loving mother, that his mother, you know, was just a very nice person, very sweet lady.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. He adored his mother. He adored his mother.
Yeah, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that he showed it, you know, because you don't always see that with sons with their mothers, well, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvin adored his mother. He did. And so, you know, we're glad to have on the panel Miss Kim Weston because
yes.
she knows a lot about Marvin's early days.
Yes.
Then, of course, you know, she became one of his duet partners. And, you know, with the hit tunes, It Takes Two. And then there's another one, What Good Am I Without You. I love What Good Am I Without You. I love that song. So it's real cool.
Oh, you know which one
real
I love?
Cool,
I love Love Fell on Me.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I love It Takes Two, baby, too. They did a lot of music together, though, which was, really outstanding. And then Miss Kim also sang with Marvin Gaye's brother, Frank.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that on YouTube. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So they did a tribute to Marvin together.
Yes, and he sounded just like his brother. His brother Frank sounded just like Marvin.
Yeah, he has a Marvin sound. He really does. In D.C., they have a partner dance called D.C. Hand Dance. And there's a song by Frankie that, is in tribute to his brother. And it's a very popular hand dance song in the D.C. area.
Oh, okay. Now, his brother Frankie's not still living, is he?
No.
I mean, I hope
he
is. I hope that didn't sound like... Yeah, I thought he die of cancer or something?
I believe so. And it was, I don't know, it was a number of years ago that he passed.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, Marvin Gaye's sister just passed. Within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yes, within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. My condolences to the family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mine as well. Yes, my heart truly goes out to them. But now, I'm going to play the song that he did with Miss Kim, the one that I just love. Love Fell on Me.
Okay.
And then hopefully Miss Kim or Brother Ray will come in and join us. So I'm going to play this. It's very short.
Okay,
let me do this real quick.
I used to go my way all by myself, me, my shadow, and I. Happy go lucky, nobody else but me, my shadow, and I. That's how love fell on me. Yes, you did.
I used to laugh at all my friends getting ready for Valentine's Day, giving candy and kisses and friendship rings, sweet for the sweet, they say.
Hit me like a ton of bricks, but I felt it just the same.
Marvin's love came creeping right into my heart when you whispered my name.
I thought that one was just beautiful. I like that one.
I love that. And you know that? I'm sure that that's the Andante is backing them up with Luvain Dempse.
Miss Kim,
when
you're ready to talk, please press number 1 and tell us who was your background sound. But I know it had to take a lot of time getting this together because Marvin Gaye produced so many, many hits. Not just music, but so many hits.
Just
to decide what you're going to play and everything.
Right. It's so much music. It's hard to, you know, I mean, like every song you just really love, you know. And so it's hard to pick out your favorites because they can all be your favorites, you know.
And you know, Marvin.
Yes. Now, the version that I like is on the live album, where he does "Distant Lover" on the live album.
Yeah.
And that version,
I have that.
It makes me want to be there in that show. Oh, I would have been screaming along with the other women.
Oh my, yes. The one that I didn't care too much for, I was so mad at myself for buying it, was the one where he was intoxicated or something. He was under the influence, and I really was upset with him for making that. Like, hey, why did you mess up my music? It sounded like he was crying and everything. I said, but you can tell he was just, I guess, heartbroken.
Oh.
But we have Brother Ray with his hand up. So I'm going to bring Brother Ray in.
Yes, well, good
Brother
evening.
Ray.
Good evening,
ladies. Brother Ray.
I hesitated to come in. How are you, Beverly?
I'm fine, thank you. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Good, likewise, my dear. I hesitated to come in because it's so good. I'm enjoying it so much. I just want to listen. I just want to listen. But...
you know, well, we want to hear your stories and, you know, all that you know about Marvin. And, you know, of course, I look forward to the panel discussion on Friday. But, you know, just to get a little preview of some of, you know, the stories that you know about Marvin Gaye, especially as he is, developing his talent in his native, you know, in his hometown of Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, like when we spoke before about this, we were competitors, if you will, at high school. Marvin was at Cardoza High. I was at Dunbar High. And, you know, it was just a great time. We had talent shows all over the city. And we would compete. We had a great trainer in at the time, Captain William Runsey, who would take us around to reform schools, hospitals, senior citizen homes, and those kind of things to perform for them. And that's how we got to first know each other. And, you know, it was just such a wonderful time. And Marvin was such a spiritual person at that time, and I think we all were. We were like 15, 16 years old, so we were still good guys, you know, and remarkable. We didn't do drugs. We didn't drink, you know. We didn't do the things that would cause a problem for us. And I think it's basically our home training time and the church.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, and I was.
Absolutely.
I grew up in New Bethel Baptist Church there at 9th and S in Washington. And, you know, I had great men leaders who taught us how to be men. And the same thing with Marvin. Marvin had a great young life in that he knew who he was. He knew what he wanted to do, and he did what he wanted to do. And I respected that in him. You know, I was one of those who I didn't really want to do the music, but, you know, I was with a group called the Starlighters. Well, I have to back that up. The Starlighters were started in the auditorium at Dunbar High School. Van McCoy, myself, Freddie Smith, Paul Comedy. We started it there after we were all in that choir at Dunbar. Then Van moved from Dunbar to Roosevelt. And they started the, I started singing with a group called the Ambassadors there. And we would all compete in different talent shows. And it was just a wonderful time in our lives. We didn't have the problems that our young people are having today. But just to know these people, to know them, Roberta Flack was part of that group, Billy Stewart was part of that group, and we used to do the doo-wop on the corner, just those fantastic parts of our lives. And to see Marvin grow to be who he became was awesome. It was just awesome. And sometimes when he would come home, we would get together. We would go down to Haynes Point, play a little football, just tossing the ball and catching, that kind of thing. But it was just such a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time for us. We stayed in contact over the years, not on a regular basis, but every now and then I would call him or he would call me. And we would, connect. We became good friends along with Dick Gregory, as a matter of fact. And sometimes we'd hook up somewhere along the way. But he is missed, thoroughly missed.
Yeah.
And he's a great example for young people, that they know his story. And I hope that you're doing a movie or something that's going to highlight the best of his life. Because young people will learn from him. He had a wonderful way of reaching people just with his words, and you can hear it in his music. His music is his life, and he said all the things that, he said them in his music, and it came out the way it should have come out, I believe.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm the one who put that fundraiser together, and I'm the one that asked Marvin to do it, and he did for my brother and for Dr. King. And I've always said, when I left high school and I left the music industry, I went with Dr. King. I worked with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and I was president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in Miami, Florida, for over 20 years. Trying to do, or should I say, doing what Dr. King taught us to do. And I've often said that if Marvin Gaye, Van McCoy, and Donny Hathaway were alive today, there would be a strong civil rights movement in this country. There is none now. But there would
I
be
was
a strong
ask about civil... that, how they would handle what's going on today.
Well, they would mostly be financiers of the movement. When you have to depend on others to finance your movement, you're not going to be successful.
That's
Marvin
true.
Understood that, and Marvin supported the civil rights movement. Aretha Franklin supported. I mean, many of them, our entertainers, supported Dr. King. So, and the movement. That's why it was so successful, because it was. But I just wanted the audience to know that Marvin was committed. He was committed to his people. And he was committed to his music. And he was committed to his God. And I love him for that.
Yes. Yes. I mean, what better way to be, where you can tell he put all of him in his music. He truly put himself into it, and you can hear it. You can truly, truly hear it in his music. He was a phenomenal man.
Yes, he was.
Yes, we have another caller also as well. I'm going to bring them in to join us. Brother Kwame.
Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
Sister Antoinette and your guest, Beverly. And
yes,
Barbara.
Hello.
How are you all?
You're welcome, Kwame.
Doing fine. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And looking at your picture, I know you're fine, but how you doing?
Hey, about it, brother.
I'm doing well.
Okay. All right. But anyway, but back to Marvin, because this has really been a powerful time this month, because his Earth Day, his solar return, then you had another revolutionary songwriter and duo was Gil Scott-Heron. And then the thing that really sparked it is, you know, DMX was a powerful rapper in his day for what he was standing for through all that he went through. But he and the Prince both left on Paul Robeson, a revolutionary songstress and freedom fighter for the people, on the 9th of April. And so we had that 9 days of that energy, because Maya Angelou came to the planet in April in that week. So we have those way showers, those ancestors now, but the energy that still lives from them, and we reverence them in honor, you know, is much powerful, because like Ray was saying, Marvin and Donny Hathaway, if they were still, you know, producing or supporting the cause. But the thing is that we see, you know, DMX was a supporter because he always gave back to the community. He was headstrong and drugged, but he was fighting his demons because of, you have to hear his story to understand that was part of the molding of what they wanted to bring to the world to help our children to destroy themselves. But he and Biggie and Tupac, they were geniuses, but then the part of that generation, he died at 5-0. This is the 5-5 year. And it's really something to see how they use these certain ceremonies, because we talk about our spirituality and talk about being spiritual. But within the word spiritual is the word ritual. And they tend to use, and I mean they, those ones that are seated in the demonic powers, or attempt to use those powers to destroy a people that is as much spirituality, like you were saying, Marvin Gaye, Donnie, Aretha, all of those were church-born singers. You know, and they sang from the spiritual part of who they were, along with what was going on in the world today, because what's going on, it can be played today, and it still says the same thing that we see happening. You know, when are we going to honor by changing those things? That's what Ray is talking about, organizing and coming together to bring about the shift that we have struggled so long, and our ancestors, this will be the 100th anniversary on May 29th of the bombing of Black Wall Street and the destruction that we saw done there 100 years ago. And where do we see another town like Wall Street today? And we got more, but we own less of what we need to own.
Yes, that is true.
It would be a different, it would be quite different if those guys were available, or if we could just get the entertainers of today to get that mindset. You know, while Marvin did a lot of things for community and for himself and for his family,
he set
a spiritual level.
Right, but what you have to look at something, Brother Ray, you came up with your dad. Marvin came up with his dad, and his dad was instrumental in saying, no, you're not going to disrespect me, and he stopped that. But the part what we're looking at is, you look at Tupac, Biggie, DMX, these young men, they've got some that comes up with their fathers, but a lot of these young men hadn't had the male guidance. It takes us, we call ourselves parents, but it takes a pair to help guide the one child or the two children, however many we produce. They have to see balance in what we do. What we do, because children, we always say, do as I say, not as I do. And this is the part a child does, is that what they see us doing, they will emulate.
This is true.
But I'm just so happy that you're doing this, Beverly. This is very important, I think. It's a time when it's needed. It's right on time.
Yes, it
well,
is.
I thank you. I thank you for your participation in this special panel discussion, in which we're celebrating, you know, the talent, you know, the life of Marvin Gaye. You know, we want those listening out there to, you know, to listen in on the panel discussion. So what I would like to do now, if you don't mind at this time, Antoinette, is to give the registration, you know.
Oh, sure.
Right,
yes.
Registration for people. Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, the discussion is called Marvin Gaye from D.C. to Detroit. It's a virtual panel discussion on Zoom. And, by the way, all of the audience will be put in a chat area, so don't have to worry about having your camera on.
Okay.
So, yes, and so it is the African American Music Association, and we're celebrating the month of Marvin Gaye's birthday, which is April, and you know his birthday was April 2nd.
Yes.
And the panel discussion is Friday, April 16th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We could possibly go to 9. We can't go beyond that, but we may go to 9 if need be, if the discussion gets just like really good and hot and heavy.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, into Marvin. And so you must register. You must register so that you can get your link to be able to enter into the discussion. And so you would go to Eventbrite, and that is at www.aama-marvingaye.eventbrite.com. Again, that's www.aama-marvingaye.eventbrite.com. So do that. As soon as you finish listening to this show, you go right to the website and register.
Yes, well, let me ask you both. Did Marvin Gaye ever make any, protesting songs, freedom songs? I guess that's a better word. Did he ever make any freedom songs? Anything to show that he was a political person?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to say this. I'm not sure if the What's Going On albums was contribution to his protest. Inner City Blues, Mercy, Mercy Me, What's Going On. Those songs talked about, you know, the world, the black community, society at the time, talked about the Vietnam War. You know, his brother Frankie was in the Vietnam War. And what was going on with that, you know, deeply affected Marvin, because Marvin was very close to Frankie. And so, you know, a lot of those songs on the What's Going On album reflect Marvin Gaye and his sense of activism and you know, the socialization of, you know, what Marvin thought the society, where society was going at that time and where it needed to be in his eyes.
Yeah. Okay, and that's true. I forgot about them for a moment. We have Miss Kim Weston.
Amen.
Miss Kim.
Well, Miss Kim Weston.
Blessings. I've been listening, y'all. Y'all been jamming. Blessings, everybody. Blessings, everybody. You're talking about my brother. And everything you said, I agree with. I do want to say that when Frankie came home from Vietnam, Frankie asked Marvin what's going on. That's how the song started. When Marvin started telling Frankie what was happening, you know, the picketing and, you know, all the stuff that was coming home, going on
at home when you came home from Vietnam. And compared to what Frankie went through, it was nothing, because I believe that Agent Orange was responsible for his death. That's my belief, you know.
Yeah.
No, the Agent Orange?
I believe during Frankie's time, when he was his last days, I was able to spend time with him. And Frankie went through a lot of problems because of Vietnam.
Yes.
One thing he did tell me was that he said Marvin would help him with anything but his singing. And I personally believe that Marvin took Frankie's sound. That's my personal
belief. Well, Mr. Kim, I know you said that Marvin Gaye was a very caring person, that, you know, people that he loved, he really took care of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if did I speak on the air about me taking one of my goddaughters to Mother Gay. If I did, I want to just,
no, you didn't. I
told you about it, so I shouldn't, you know. That's,
no, you didn't.
Well, as a matter of fact, I can go on back to how the whole thing started. I was working with Marvin as his co-star. As a matter of fact, we hadn't even recorded at that particular time. And it was the Andantes, first time out of the studio on the road. I was the first artist that was allowed to have them. And so they were with me on the show, and because they were there, I told them, I said, well, why don't you all sing for Marvin? You're here, you know, you're on the record.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they did. But I wrote with Marvin to D.C. after the show and met the whole family, right? I think I told you that Viola, Sweetie, she was 6 months pregnant, and she named her daughter after me.
Yes.
Her oldest brother's name is Kim.
Yes.
So I met father, I met mother, I met Frankie, I met them all. Excuse me. And we sat out on the porch until about 6 o'clock in the morning talking. It was a beautiful time. And mother told me, she said, now you're the daughter that I thought he was bringing home to me. She said, but I'm going to take you as my daughter anyway. And that's the way she treated me until the last time I saw her. And that's how she is in my heart. But one of my goddaughters moved from Michigan to D.C. And I took a while and introduced her to mother. And I asked her if she would, you know, she moved there to be with her father. And asked mother if she would just, you know, check on her for me every once in a while. And mother checked on her to the point that she got Marvin to get her a job at Motown. And it's my understanding, unfortunately, the young lady, she just died about 3 months ago, unfortunately. But because she had been, it would have been fantastic to have her here to tell about that. They didn't have a job for her. Marvin had them to make up a job for her. And I didn't know anything about it until a few years ago. But, I mean, can you imagine what that did to my heart? Because I took her to mother. Mother took her to Marvin, and because she was my goddaughter, you know, I mean, if that don't show the kind of person he was, I don't know what else to say.
Well, you said he was a caring person, and that shows just how caring and loving of a person that he was. That truly does. And, Ms. Kim, I do remember now you did tell me about that.
Okay.
But it's still good to hear again, because that, you know, that's really outstanding on both of y'all, you know. And then how his mother adopted you, but you also adopted her, because you're still calling her mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she was the backbone behind him having the faith that he needed to pursue his career as a kid.
Well, we're grateful to her.
She was a wonderful woman. she really loved Marvin. You know, but she loved all of them. And she's just such a loving person. You just speak to her one time, meet her one time, and it's like a magnet.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Brother Ray.
Oh, don't let me break up, please.
Well, not negatively. Not negatively, Brother Ray.
Yeah, I got a question for Beverly. Oh, you're not breaking. Tell us about the association.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
About the African American Music Association. It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to promote and preserve African American music culture in all different forms, from gospel to jazz to early R&B, doo-wop, contemporary R&B, hip-hop, and go-go, which, you know, go-go music is the official music of the District of Columbia. And so the African American Music Association, you know, promotes with various projects and programs. We do a lot of youth programs and teaching them about the music industry and how to write, how to record, and as well as doing the annual Marvin Gaye. It's been like about 30 years they've celebrated Marvin Gaye's birthday in various forms, such as, you know, performances, speeches. They've done it in Marvin Gaye Park, which is in Northeast D.C. They did not do one last year because of COVID, because COVID hit like real hard, you know, the early part of April. So they were not able to do that. And with me being named as executive director of the African American Music Association, I took my seat in January of 2021. And I said, you know, even though we're in this pandemic stage still, we still need to find ways to celebrate Marvin in the month of April. We could not do for his birthday, but Marvin Gaye's birthday month of April, you can celebrate Marvin and his birthday during the whole month of April. Of course, you can celebrate Marvin 365 days a year.
Yeah.
But we decided that I came up with the idea about a virtual panel discussion, because now nonprofits have to become very, very creative in order to sustain themselves. There are organizations that are almost on the brink of, you know, disbanding because they have not been able to fundraise as they once did. And they're trying to figure out how they can, you know, maintain themselves and still fundraise. And we're in that same predicament as well. But we get grants. I'm a grant writer, and so I've, you know, written several grants for the organization. And one of the unfortunately, I was not able to get a grant for this project. But there are two other grants. There are two other projects that I am overseeing that we've gotten a significant amount of money to be able to provide the program. And one of them is a virtual exhibit, virtual gallery exhibit called From the Nation's Capital, Doo-Wop from the street corner to the stage. It's a virtual exhibit in which we feature talent from Washington D.C. who put their footprints, you know, into the architecture of American popular culture. And so we have pictures, bios, performance videos of artists such as the Clovers, such as, you know, the Rainbows, Billy Stewart, the Marquise, Marvin Gaye, and actually, Ray, if there's anything on the Ambassadors, we would really like to have that. And so with that, there'll also be an educational component for young people to be able to connect the dots with this music and their music. So that's one of the projects that we're going to be working on for 2021 and 2022. So that's the African American Music Association. This is what we're doing. So we're trying to be creative and be able to stay on board as well.
That's great.
I'm going to recruit you, my dear, to help me. I am putting together something for Kim Weston. And what it is, most people don't know this, but that Kim Weston was the second woman to record Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Mm-hmm.
She did it when she was at Motown.
Yes, yes.
And the first woman to record it was Mahalia Jackson, which makes Kim Weston an icon. It's music and she's working with us on our drum call. We have a drum call that's going out across the nation and around the world, where at 3 o'clock on Sunday we have to put the drum.
Yeah, Brother Ray, you're breaking up again.
And sing, Lift Every Voice and Sing. So I'm going to recruit you. We'll talk about it because I need help, and I want to get this thing. I want to get it going because Lift Every Voice and Sing has spoken to the heart all over the world. The downtrodden, the least of these, my brothers, and they hear that. They hear that cry coming from that song, and I don't think there's anybody on this planet who can present it any better than Kim Weston.
I don't think so either. Beverly, did you know that Brother Ray's brother, his oldest brother, was one of the Tuskegee Airmen?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Oh, you
did not know
Ray.
That.
Ah, you're holding out, Brother Ray.
Well, they had a parade there last week. There were over 100 cars in the drive-by for his 95th birthday last weekend.
Oh, okay. I saw that on the news. Yes. Oh, my, congratulations. That is absolutely wonderful.
And I produced a T-shirt for him with his plane, in front of his plane, when he was 18 years old, standing in front of his plane, United States Army Air Force plane. And just got the T-shirts day before yesterday, and I'm trying to get them out now. But we are going to talk because there's a lot that I can help you with and that you can help me with and that we can help our people with. Because these things that you're doing and these things that we're trying to do, they have no knowledge of. We've been locked out of the information, but we're going to open up the door. And we're going to teach our people so those young people will know that there is a future for them if they want it. And I like what you're doing. Love what you're doing. I'd like to see
you
add the drums.
I appreciate that.
I'd like to see you add the drums call to your teachings, and that there's some brothers and sisters. I understand there's a women's group in Washington that is awesome with the drums. I don't know if you know them or not, but I understand they are there. I've been reaching out to them. I hope they will. Yes.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your compliments.
I couldn't hear that.
I said, Beverly doesn't really know about the Phoenix Rising Drumbeat Coalition. So I think it's something that could be added to it as you're talking, but I'm saying she doesn't know. Would you explain to her what it's about?
Oh, okay. Well, started last February. We've been going through so much with this COVID and with the attacks on black people all over the world. It ain't just happened here in America, all over the world. And I've been friends over the years with other countries, particularly Cote d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, and other African nations that have been suffering who needed to hear this drum call. And they've picked it up and they're going. But anyway, one morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, God woke me and said, drum. And I said, drum, well, what do you mean, drum? And he wouldn't answer. So the next day I start praying. What was this all about? And it came to me that our ancestors used the drum to communicate with one another. And they used the drum to communicate with God. So I asked, I said, okay, we need to reinstitute that so that people will begin to understand there is a way to address these conditions that we're facing. We don't have to throw a rock. We don't have to shoot anybody. We ain't got to fight. We ain't got to march. All we have to do is call on the Holy Spirit of God to intervene, in this a war, this attack on his people. And that's exactly what it is, in my opinion. And we started that next Sunday. I started making calls, and it caught on like wildfire. People just started drumming. We got them all over the country, and now they've picked up in they picked up first in Ghana. And I don't know if you know Carl Nelson with the Carl Nelson WOL show that comes on there. And they started calling in to Carl Nelson's show. They called in from London, England. They called from Ghana. And they called from Cote d'Ivoire. So, you know, people are catching on to it and picking it up. And it's working out. And we're teaching them lift every voice and sing. And I've been producing a song in an African rhythm of Lift Every Voice and Sing. We're still working on it. It takes a little time sometimes to get these things completed. But I will definitely let you know, and Kim Weston will be the one on that song, singing that song to wake this world up and let them know we got a God, y'all. We ain't got to take this stuff. Every week they're killing somebody here. So that's basically what it is, and we'll share that with you when you're ready.
Okay. Well, after the panel discussion, give me at least a week to wind down, and then get in touch and we'll talk.
Okay. I got one more question for you. Whatever happened to the Marvin Gaye stamp?
I don't know if it's still in circulation. I mean, the Marvin Gaye stamp did come out.
Oh boy, I didn't get one.
Hey Ray, I got Ray.
Yeah.
Brother Ray.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I use it when I mail my bills.
Well, I'm gonna get some. I'm down here in North Cuba, and it's a little different down here than up there. Y'all understand that. So I haven't seen them down here, but I'm going to go, it's been
a
big...
You have to ask for them because
you have to ask when you go to the post office.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to get the Black Heritage stamps.
Okay. Yeah, they have those. Well, they don't have them in these post office here now, but they used to have them. I'm going to ask. I'm going in there tomorrow to find out because I didn't know. And thank you for that, Funny.
Yes, you have to go to the post. When you go to the post, I mean, when you go and buy stamps, you just ask if they have the Marvin Gaye stamps. Now, when they first came out, they went so quickly, that they were hard to get, at least here in the D.C. area, of course. But you just still have to ask. I think that there is a booklet or a poster of heritage stamps, and Marvin Gaye's stamp is there. So I believe that you can go online and purchase the heritage stamps as well. So, you might want to consider doing that as well.
Yeah, because what they do is they make a big one with the history of Marvin Gaye on it that you can put in a frame.
Wow, okay. All right, I'll be right on that in the morning.
Okay,
yeah, because
I certainly got some.
Right, because I've got the ones they did of Malcolm. I did the ones for Kwanzaa. They've got Frederick Douglass. Basically, they have our historical people there, but you have to ask, well, they ain't offering it. You know, and like
right,
you said,
exactly.
You can go online and you can ask for the Black Heritage stamps, and they'll list all the stamps, and they have, you know, framed, they have like a large stamp, but then they have the history of the person, and it's frameable. It's like in an 8 by 10 thing that is two panels, one of the stamp and then one of the history.
Well, when we finish all
now,
this,
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you can get those because usually when they bring out the new stamp for the especially during Black History Month, they have it to where they will do that double frame, so you can frame the stamp and the history of the person with it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kwame. I'm going to get on that, too, as well. But we're going to make every day History Day. They gave us a month. We're going to take 65.
Is our, see, they get in Black people Black History Month, but we have Our Story Year.
Yes, that's right. Let's do it. It's up to us. See, that's the other thing, Beverly. I believe that once we organize as a people, you will never have a problem raising funds. And we won't need to ask these other people for grants. We'll have our own money. They'll be asking us for grants. Cause we
and
are,
and
what, we are.
What is there at Howard, they have the world's largest African-American study. Is Dr. Greg Carr and Karen Hunter have made a virtual channel that you can, they've got about 60 different episodes they started last year. And each one is a virtual class that when he talks about a book, you can click on the book and it'll take you to the book. It'll take you to the author. It'll talk about the history of what that book is telling us about. It's a whole virtual class that you can learn an African-American studies degree you can get online now just by getting into Karen Hunter. It's called, Narrative, and it begins with a K, and it's called Narrative, K-N-A-R-R-I-V-T-I-V, Narrative, and that's the way that we can teach our children our story. And be able to sit them down, and they can get taught somebody that has the knowledge, because Dr. Carr is an African American. He's over the African American studies, but he's also an attorney, and he grew up in the time of the civil rights. Well, he's 55, so he's in that struggle era. Black studies.
Yeah. Yes, I'm aware of Dr. Carr. He helped me get out of a jam when I needed some grades. I had gone back to Howard to finish up my BA after 40 years, and I was having difficulty getting my final grade so I can get out of there. And he helped me.
because
my minor is history. I have a history minor, so television major, history minor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Karen Hunter is a journalist on Sirius FM. She's a Pulitzer Prize writer, and she wrote Queen Latifah's book. She did LL Cool J's book. She's a ghost writer, but now she's on Sirius FM. She teaches at Hunter College. She teaches journalism at Hunter.
Okay. That's where I started my degree in television, at Hunter College. And then I moved to Washington, D.C., and I went to Howard from what, 1978 to 80, and then I had to stop going, but I decided to go back in 2017 because I only had two more years left, and I said, I've got to do this. And I went back and finished up my my BA degree. People thought I was going back to finish up a master's or PhD. I'm like, no, this is my BA degree, you know. So, and I had retired from Howard University. And so people thought that I was going back to work. I said, no, no more brick and mortars for me. You know, I have my own production company, and I can, you know, I can continue doing my work. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted the parchment paper, put it up on the wall, put my feet up in the chair, and just look at it, you know. After 40 years, I decided to go back and complete it. So you're never too old, never too old.
No, but what I'm seeing, what you're doing, and especially, and I commend you for bringing this forward with the African-American, you know, music associations, is to be able to take the techno-spiritual and the historical and put them together, because we need to record Kim Weston, Brother Ray, yourself, to talk about stories that biographers write certain things, but people who live with those people tell a different story.
This is true. Mm-hmm. This is true.
Because how many people know what... No, I'm just going to share what Ms. Kim said. She said, what's going on came from his brother Frankie asking Marvin what was going on, and that's how the song. How many people know that?
Right, exactly. And Ms. Antoinette, you know, you have a very, very, very significant legend in your family. That her story needs to be told. I think it was, but I need to do some research and make sure that I'm correct. And who is that?
Tell him, Antoinette. Okay.
Is she still there?
She's on the board, I'm sure.
Nobody heard me. I'm sorry. Nanny
Hellsborough.
Okay. Nanny Hellsborough is her name. And she started a school in D.C. when no one else would let her teach. So she opened up her own school.
Now, if you're, you know, if you're from Washington, D.C., you know Nanny Helen Burroughs Avenue in Northeast, and it's perpendicular to the Marvin Gaye Park, but Nanny Helen Burroughs is quite a significant person in African-American history, as she taught. She taught women who migrated from the South and came to Washington, D.C. to be able to get jobs as housekeepers and caretakers and teachers. And am I right? Am I right,
yes.
Ms. Antoinette, about Nanny Helen Burroughs? Yes.
The Bible,
she was a pioneer.
Yes.
Yeah, she was a pioneer in Black history in making our people independent, you know, and working, you know, people who came from the South to migrate for a better life, I've always been impressed. With Nanny Helen Burroughs.
Yes.
And these are the kind
of... Her mother was a slave. Her mother was a slave, and her father was a free man. And he brought my cousin Nanny's mother, Jean Poindexter, he brought her and married her. You know, he brought her to marry her. And they had my cousin Nanny, so my cousin Nanny was born free. And that was my grandfather's first cousin. And they were close.
These are the lessons that need to be taught to our children. They're not in the public school system.
And now he's under two presidents. He served under two presidents for the housing, in housing.
But Antoinette, with her last name is Burroughs.
Yes, B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S.
Okay, because Margaret Burroughs in Chicago started the DuSable Museum in her living room, which is the main big museum for African American museum there in Chicago. That's what I was saying, because her name was Margaret Burroughs.
Well, we'd have to see if she's related to Nanny Helen Burroughs.
Right.
Yeah. She was a fascinating lady. Now, from everything that I've heard about her, she was very fascinating. Now, Brother Ray, your brother knew her, right? Your brother Walter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the greatest respect, and they worked together, you know.
But see, what we have here is a great thing. What they said in Cool Hand Luke said, what we have here is a failure to communicate. What we have here is a great thing. We have a great thing to communicate, because you all actually know the people that their family members, and know the people that still living that can talk about them.
Yeah, that's true. Because I do have a cousin who, you know, lived with my cousin Nanny, you know, off and on. I think during the summers or something, he would go and stay with cousin Nanny. So, and she's still living. So that's a good thing. And my daughter and my granddaughter both did reports on my cousin Nanny.
Right, and what you could do with the one still being alive is record her story of her, because that's a living story.
Yes, it is. Yes, I have to try to do that. She doesn't live in Delaware anymore. She's over on the West Coast, but I have to see if I can't get her to record it. I have it written down, you know, different things that she's told me about my cousin Nanny, but I have to see if she won't do a recording and send it to me.
Well, you should get it. You should get it.
Yeah.
You should definitely get it.
And even see if she can find some old pictures. Yeah, and see if she can find some old pictures, if she has any, of Cousin Nanny.
Yeah.
I know one of my aunts, before she passed, she had a book that my cousin Nanny wrote. And unfortunately, she passed away before I was able to get the book.
That's why it's important that you get the stories now with it while they're living. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But
yeah,
I have a question for Brother Ray and Miss Kim. Brother Ray and Miss Kim, I have a two-part question. Since y'all knew Marvin Gaye, what was y'all's favorite songs that Marvin Gaye made? And the second question is, what song would you sing to him now? If you could sing to Marvin Gaye, what would be the song that you would sing to him now? And so that's a two-part question for both of y'all.
Go ahead, Kim.
Actually, I had to step away, so I didn't hear the question.
I can't hear you.
No, you're very faint, Miss Kim.
See, I had to step away for a second, so I didn't hear the question.
Okay, I had a two-part question. One was, what was your favorite song by Marvin Gaye? And the second one was, if you could sing a song to Marvin Gaye, what song would you sing to him today? And that was for you and Brother Ray.
Well, let me just Go ahead, Kim. I can't hear you, hon.
That my favorite song with him is Secret Love. Mm-hmm.
Secret Love, okay.
Tell us about it.
And what's...
What'd you say?
Tell us about it. The Secret Love.
I'd rather you hear it. It speaks for itself.
Okay. That's Miss Kim.
Is that a secret that you're keeping, Miss Kim?
I said speaks for itself.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
It speaks for itself.
Now, Miss Kim, if you could sing a song to him today.
I got to pull up that song.
Yes, it's a pretty song. Miss Kim, if you could sing a song for him today, what song would you sing?
I have to think about that, Antoinette. If I can, after Ray finished, maybe I'll have one.
Okay. Okay, well, Brother Ray.
I said this to Dr. Martin King one time. I had gone through the South with him. We were doing voter registration and the like. And I said, you know, Doc, what I'm learning is that our people don't know anything about our history. They don't know who we are. I said that to him. So when Marvin came out with what's going on, it really caught my attention. And I wrote a song called First Man, which talks about, you know, how God created man in his image and placed us here in the garden. So we are the first man, the first woman. So if he were here, I would definitely ask him to produce it. And
you know
he probably
what?
Would.
I see where he did do a song called First Man. I didn't download it. I'm sorry, but he did.
Well, I need to hear that.
First Man. Okay.
I need to hear that. But there's also, I need to put this in there as well. My brother, my younger brother, Gerald, was in Vietnam with Frankie.
Uh-huh.
And they both came home the same year. So that, you know, that's just another significant thing. And Frankie was everything that Marvin was. You know, when, you know, they were just both gentle people, God-fearing, loving people. And I miss Frankie just as much as I miss Marvin, because Frankie was that guy, believe me. So if I had a song that I had to sing for him, it would be it would be one of his, I'm sure. Mercy, Mercy Me.
Oh, yes. And Brother Ray, I was wrong. It's not First Man. It's You're the Man.
Oh, okay. Okay. You all can hear First Man on YouTube.
Yes,
Ray Fontaine, First Man.
Yes, I believe I still have it in the playlist.
Yes,
because for y'all that don't know, Brother Ray can sing too.
Well,
Brother Ray has a beautiful voice. Yes,
he does. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know what, Brother Ray? I'm going to play that, if you don't mind. If y'all can indulge me for a moment, we're going to play. We're going to listen to Brother Ray, because y'all don't hear him singing. Okay.
Sphinx and the Pyramids, they've been here 12,000 years. You charted the heavens with your eyes, flew your spaceships through the sky. You crossed the Alps on an elephant's back to save your land. Let's talk about that, brother. You're the father of the earth. Come on, we go now. You're the father.
Our brother Ray.
That's got a little Marvin Gaye kind of groove.
That's got a lot of Marvin Gaye groove in there. Like I said, if he were around, he would have been producing that.
I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. Yeah.
And there were a couple of errors in there that didn't get corrected. It's the message I think that our people need to know. We need to hear this. We are the invaders. This is our land. God gave this to us, but we dropped the ball. We don't think about it.
Yes, but that, now what year did you make that, Brother Ray? Forgive me for not remembering.
Oh boy, I wrote it in 1985. So I guess it's around somewhere. And there's a lot of music.
That's
a
beautiful song. Pardon me?
In that vein. That's a lot of music in that vein. Just trying to wake our people. We need to, what we've been hearing. We got to get some serious stuff. Yeah.
And so you were hollering, wake up before people were woke up.
Yeah.
You were doing the battle cry, telling everybody to wake up.
Yeah, we got to wake up. We have to.
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, I know. I'm looking forward to Friday. Yes, yes.
Miss Antoinette, this is Beverly. I just wanted to say that I'm going to hate to have to leave this wonderful conversation, but I'm going to have to leave it. But I want to thank you for having me on. Thank you. And I look forward to Brother Ray and Miss Kim being on the panel discussion. It's going to be a fabulous evening of information, knowledge, remembrance, and celebration. So,
yes, it is.
With that, yes, one more time, I'd like to tell your audience that Marvin Gaye from D.C. to Detroit is a
virtual panel discussion on Zoom. And I think I need to make clear from the last time I mentioned it, the audience will not be on camera, but the panelists definitely will. The audience will be in a chat room where they can type questions or they can talk amongst each other, and they'll get a question and answer period, a Q&A period at the end of the panel discussion. And so with that, it's Friday, April 16th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you must register in order to get the link to be able to come into the program. And so you can register now at www.aama-marvingaye.eventbrite.com. So, and with that, our panelists are the wonderful Kim Weston and Levaine Debs from the Ardantes, and Raymond Fauntroy, and the Reverend Dr. Sandra Butler Truesdale, and a wonderful local talent from D.C. who's impacted and influenced by Marvin Gaye. His name is Frank Sirius. And our moderator is Bill Wax from WPSW 89.3 FM in New York. I mean, sorry, woo, in Washington, D.C. That's where I had to go. I need to eat.
is Jackass so still going to be on?
Is who?
Jack Ashford.
I'm not sure. He said that if he's able to, I'll put it that way. So I'm going to give him a call tomorrow and see if I can confirm that or not. So, but we want to have him. We definitely want to have him. But
did
you know,
Paul
he's
call
got.
You?
No, he has. Well, the phone has been ringing while I'm talking to you all, so I couldn't answer it. I don't know who called, but I'm going
to.
I
spoke with him earlier.
Okay.
He said that he had his number and that he was going to call you.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, maybe he did, and I hope so. But I want to thank you for having me on. And
thank you for being with us. We truly appreciate you. And, of course, we appreciate the work that you're doing. And thank you so much for bringing Marvin Gaye to us.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. And so I'll be talking to you after Friday to get your feedback.
Okay. Well, give me one moment.
Feedback. Uh-huh.
Yes, give me one moment. Y'all, you know, we've heard Marvin Gaye doing various different types of music. I don't know if anyone is aware of, but Marvin Gaye also sang gospel. So I'm going to play this song by Marvin Gaye, His Eyes on a Sparrow, to close us out. So I want to thank everyone for being with us. I hope y'all will definitely join the Zoom call on Friday for, what's going on from D.C. to Detroit for the Zoom call on Friday. So with that, here we go, y'all.
The shadows come. Oh, tell me why? Why should I feel so lonely, so lonely? And long, long for
she watches over me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, my Savior. People, I can sing my song. Oh, hope I'm happy.
Thank you all for being with us. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Brother Eddie and I will be back on at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So we look forward to seeing you all then. And Brother Dry Bones will be on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time for the Helios Belios. And Brother Ray at 3 p.m., no matter where you are in the world, at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget to be drumming with Brother Ray. To lift every voice. And with that, I want to thank our guests, Beverly Lindsay Johnson, for being with us and for sponsoring this program with Marvin Gaye, the Marvin Gaye from D.C. to Detroit. So with that, y'all have a good night, and I look forward to talking to y'all tomorrow. Good night, y'all.
God bless.
Good night.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you, Beverly.
Thank us.
Thank you.
That.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being with us. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.